Father, you are beautiful, and we love you. We thank you that you make yourself known to us through your Son, that you make yourself known through your Spirit. Thank you that we could worship together this morning and know that you are present here. So, Father, we recognize you being here with us, and Father, we thank you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus, for your words that said we could find our joy in the fact that our names are written in the book of life. Thank you that we could know you. I pray that today, Father, you would enlighten the eyes of our hearts, and you would continue shaping in our hearts and minds, Father, the truth of who you are. We love you, Father. And we thank you for this time together. Amen. Thank you for the beautiful worship, Monique and the team. It's such a privilege to be here with you guys this morning. Thank you for having us. I understand there to be readers that's going to read some of the text for us. Okay, guys. So maybe before I ask you guys to come up, I found out Friday morning that Brent and Grod is not going to be here this morning. And then the first thought I had was, well, that's amazing. I can say and do anything. And I wanted, are we recording? If Brent have ever told you guys about the time that he struggled to get up Plattekloof Gorge and I had to throw him over my back and I carried him up all the way up the mountain, or the time that we were cycling up Sekebosi and I had to tie a rope to his bike and I pulled him up. Now, obviously, this isn't true. You guys know Brent is an incredible adventurer, so and we had a good time Friday morning, just him sharing about this community and us talking about the wonderful experiences we've had together with your community. I think our relationship started 4 years ago with the first team that left from here to Jordan. It was Brent and Martin Brand and his daughter Chantel and Marie-Christine and Candace and Maxie and myself, and we did not know what was in store for us. Floyd invited us all to go, and he said, don't worry, I'll coach you. And so we went for one coaching coffee, and he said, if you guys pray together every morning, and every person gets a chance to share a story about Jesus, this trip will be a success. And so we believed him, and we went, and it was amazing. I will never forget when I sat with Martin on the floor in this one-room apartment with this big Arab man in front of us, massive white beard, and he was telling his story of how they escaped out of Homs, how their family business was bombed, literally escaped with the clothes on their backs, and we found them there in Jordan, and then Martin started sharing stories out of his life, and started sharing the story of the Good Samaritan, and whilst he was talking, this man stopped him and said, you know, last night, I had a dream. I was back in Homs. I was fleeing for my life. And then I saw this big church, and I ran to this church. This is a Muslim man. And I banged on the doors of the church, and they opened up, and I went in. I was overwhelmed with a peace that I've never felt before. And I think you guys being here today is the answer to that dream. What do you have to say to me? So we were like, when I walked out of there, I was shaking. I couldn't believe it. God is revealing himself to that nation, and that he's moving and he's constantly drawing his children to himself. So that's where it started, and I think Protea Valley has since then sent almost 7 or 8 teams either to the Middle East and to Germany. And I know you guys are busy with many other things. And so we are so proud of this community, and we're just so happy to be partners with you. And it's great to get to know you guys even more. So before I carry on with a bunch of stories, let me ask the readers to come up and please read to us the text that we will use today. Thank you.
Our text from 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 16. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Man, I wish I had a deep voice like that. So authoritative. Thank you, that was beautiful. About 4 years ago, I was standing in a practice in Stellenbosch. I was working at that stage as an architect. And I remember in my heart, not even knowing it was a prayer, but just saying to God, is this really the sum total of my life? Because I could kind of see where I was heading in partnership and business, and I was wondering, is this it? My life was filled with broken relationships. We were going through a really tough time in our marriage. I had many friends that I was in conflict with. And I felt almost desperate. I remember when I started my journey with Jesus when I was younger, certain hopes filled my heart of a life with him. And there was a There came a stage in my life where I, because of disappointment, gave up on that. And so this is where I found myself. I found myself there desperate, saying, God, is this really it? Is this the sum total of my life? An amazing thing we know about Father is he's alive and active, right? He's working. And so he orchestrated things in such a way that a week later I had an encounter with love that just blew my mind and made me realize that he has not forgotten about me, that he is alive and he does hear my prayers and that he does love me. That night, I went to bed for the first time in years. I was able to sleep through a whole night without drinking or using sleeping pills. And the next morning when I woke up, it was the first time in years I could go on my knees before God and I just say, but you are real and you are awesome. Speak to me. What do you want to say to me? And I just felt Father ask me to go to Maxie and say to her, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done to you, for the hurt I've caused you. And he started healing our relationship again. And during the following days, I felt Father say to me, but pray for this guy or pray for that person. And I would just start listening and pray for these people, and miraculous things would happen. Things I never expected. One specific friend that I had on my list that I needed to pray for, our relationship kind of broken down. and we were good friends, and he was living in Bloemfontein, and we were living in Stellenbosch at that stage. So I started praying for him. I didn't contact him. I just prayed for him. And after a week of prayer, he called me up, and he said, "Man, I don't know what's going on, but I've got you on my mind. And I'm coming to Cape Town to do my MBA. I need a place to stay. Can I stay with you guys?" And so I said, "Sure thing, man. Please come stay with us." So he came, and we would go. I remember, you know, in the weekends, we'd go and do these walks on Noordhoek Beach and talk about life. And we'd talk about I'd share with him some of the experiences I was having. My life was changing. And just an ordinary guy working, and I felt God really changing radical things in my life. This friend of mine became a massive supporter of our time in Jordan. I never planned that. We never planned that, but God orchestrated these things. Not too long ago, I was sitting down with this friend for dinner, same friend, Niku, with his wife and my wife, and we were just sharing a little bit about how we're doing, and he opened up and he said, "My business is doing so badly at this stage that I might have to fire some people in the next week, and it's giving me these anxiety attacks. I find that there's times that I cannot breathe when he needs to make a decision." And the thing that blows my mind is there's certain people, when you see them, they're so talented, and they're so accomplished, and they're so presentable. You never think that they would struggle with anything. My friend Nico is like that, you know. But then he opened up his heart and he said, I'm having panic attacks. I can't breathe. I'm so worried. I feel like I'm not going to make it in life. I won't be able to provide for my wife. I don't know what's going on." And so we were really just, we didn't have any answers for him, and we could only listen at that stage. But then we said after dinner, "You know what, let's slow down. Life's so hurried. Let's go sit down in the lounge and I'll put on a song and let's wait and see. Maybe God wants to do something or speak something to us." And so I don't know if you've heard this song by Hillsong called Closer. It's a beautiful song of just Jesus speaking his truths, of him being close to us and that he's never forgotten us, and that he's with us. And so we were listening to the song, and during the song, my friend looked up and I could see something lifted off his shoulders and he's crying. And then he started saying, "You know, I just had the incredible feeling in my heart that I am not alone, that God is with me, that I've got this peace inside of me." And I remembered, and he started saying, I realized that I was like the disciples in the boat with Jesus. You know that story where they were in the boat and it was in a storm and the disciples were worried for their lives, and they went and they woke up Jesus and they said, "Do you not care? Do you not care that we are going to die?" And then Jesus stood up and he calmed the storm and the seas, because the wind and the waves, they know his voice. He created them. And my friend said, "I just felt like I was like those disciples. I believed this lie that he doesn't care. And for some reason, he's not close. But I now know he just revealed himself to me again. He's close." And even though his circumstances did not change right in that moment, he felt like he was just, he just felt this peace. And the incredible thing is, during that week, things changed in such a way that he didn't have to fire anybody. So, you know, I wonder a lot about the picture we have and the image we have of God in our hearts and our minds. I believe all of us carry around with us a picture. Share an office space with some friends in Kloof Street. And we're a small community of people that try to learn how to follow Jesus 7 days a week, how to be disciples, how to make disciples. And I've had the privilege over the last 2 weeks to hang out with a colleague. About 2 weeks ago, he was really stressed about a decision he had to make. He's going through a vocational change, it's a huge risk he's taking. And so we were sitting down in a park there, Kompanyteine, And he said, you know, I feel so overwhelmed by this. I don't know if this is the right move. And so I really did not know what to do. I just asked him, who do you feel is backing you? Who's on your side? Who's sitting at your table? And because he felt like he was alone. And then he said, you know, this person and maybe my girlfriend and that person. But he was kind of unsure. And then, you know, I thought, oh, man, how can I help my friend? But the only thing that came to mind was to say, listen, Thabo, if there's nobody, if you forget about religion and everything you think you know about God, and he was standing right here, and you could ask him one thing, what would it be that you would ask him? And then he spoke. Obviously, it's prayer, but at that moment, he just spoke the most sincere and the most simple request. He just asked that God would be with him and that he would help him because he feels alone. That's what he said. And then next moment, my friend starts crying. He starts crying. You can see a weight lifted off him. And he continues to talk. I just sit and I just look at this happening. And he continues to talk and he opens up his eyes and he said, you know, I just felt this weight lifted off me and I felt that I'm not alone. And we walk away back to the office and he says, man, that's the best meeting we've ever had. Thank you for everything that you said and everything. I realized I didn't say a word. I could just hang out with my friend, love him, and hopefully create the opportunity for him to realize that God is with him and that he's speaking to him. But the funny thing is, the same friend, a week later, Friday, we sit down and we said we're going to start meeting more regularly so we can learn more about these experiences, more about this God. And so he says during the week he had a conversation with a family member. And he was talking about the shootings in Stellenbosch. And Thabo was really upset about what was going on. And so the words he used to his family member was, if God is alive and he continues to allow these things to happen, he must be a real sadist. That's Thabo's words. This is a week after he had this encounter with God. And then his heart filled with fear and worry, he said, and he was worried about what's going to happen with him in his future and where is he going. And so the only thing that he could remember was a week ago when he felt like this, he prayed and the fear went away. He just called God a sadist. Then he went to his room alone and he did the same thing. He said, the only thing I could do is just ask him help to help me. And in that moment, again, his heart was filled with a peace that he couldn't understand. And then he asked me, so he told me this, and he asked me, what is your picture, Marku? What is your image that you have of God? And I realized what was happening in my friend's life is God was revealing himself to him. He's changing the picture that Thabo has of himself and of God. And God's not fazed by the lies that Thabo believes. He's there with him, and he is helping him through this. And I believe that all of us and many of the people around us, our colleagues, family members, are carrying certain images and pictures of them of God around in their hearts. So that's my question to us this morning is, what do we believe about God? What does our family believe about God? And who do we look to help us shape the picture we have of him in our lives? How does the picture we have of God influence our experience of life, of our relationships, work, and of creation, of nature around us? Some pictures we have are imposed on us from a small age, and some pictures of God images we gather because of past experiences. For some people in the city, God is this angry old man with a big stick in his hand. And every now and again, he just looks over the balconies of heaven, and if he sees somebody having too much fun, hits them over the knuckles, and he says, stop that. But he's not like that. For some people, God is this angry judge, measuring every action, remembering every mistake, just so that he could keep it against us, against them at the end of their lives. And God is not like that either. For some, I can hear, and you hear this in media, and you see this in books and movies, God is not good. He's far away, he's distant, he's not to be trusted. He's either not interested in us or unable to help us with our problems. And that's not our King. That It's not our God. For some, talking to him is like this cosmic Facebook or Twitter entry with you trying to describe and you're unsure about the words you use to describe your feelings and to get a comment and desperately hoping that he will comment or even just give you one like, but never know if it's going to come. And that's not our God. That's not how he is. So, how and who do we look to know who God is? And does he really want to be known? My experience growing up was that God is a contradiction. When I was younger, I remember moments where I knew God as the God of Psalm 91 that I could run to when I was afraid. But growing up, especially in community, God became uncomfortable Sunday clothes or a visit from the dominie and a person that I feared and a person that I always had to have the right answers with. A relationship of duty, not a relationship of delight. Unfortunately, God never leaves us in that state. He's continually renewing in us who he really is. I'm so thankful for that. So I believe that God wants to be known by us, and I believe that he's constantly pressing his truth down on our hearts and the people around us, and our colleagues and businesses and where we're working, even the Middle East with our Muslim friends. God is constantly revealing himself to us, wanting to show us how good he is. So someone I looked to learn about relationship with God is the story of Moses. In Psalm 103, verse 7, David writes that, and there's something here for us, I think, to learn. He writes that God showed Moses his ways and his deeds to the people of Israel. So God showed his ways to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. And I've wondered about this. We all know that God had this incredible relationship with Moses. He called him a friend. But with the people of Israel, he was constantly struggling. His constant unbelief and a misunderstanding of who God was and what he asked of them. So I just wondered, when I read this, is how many times in my life do I settle for the deeds or the guidance and I forget about the guide? See, I want to be like Moses. I want to know God. When Moses went to his tent to spend time with God, the people went and they ate. And when Moses went to the mountain for 40 days to be in God's presence, the people made an idol for themselves. And so this is why when Aaron and his sister turned against Moses, God said that, "I have spoken through my prophets, but with Moses, I speak face to face as with a friend." So Moses knew God. He knew God was merciful. And this is the reason that Moses could stand between God and Israel when God wanted to destroy the nation. And he could say, "But please, do not. These are your people. What will the nations think if you destroy them?" And God changed his mind. Moses knew him. Let's consider the following scriptures in considering God's heart and character and this question about knowing him and does he want to be known. In Isaiah 6 verse 6, God says, "Think about this. I desire mercy rather than sacrifice. I desire a knowledge of me rather than burnt offerings. I desire mercy rather than sacrifice. I desire a knowledge of me rather than burnt offerings." This is amazing. Creator God saying, "I want you to know me. I want to be known." In Psalm 53, David writes, "God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, any who seek after him." Jeremiah 29, God says, "If you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you." Isn't this amazing? Just always touches my heart so much, this realization that God wants to be known and he's constantly finding ways for us to know his true character, to experience him, to know him. He did the most incredible thing by breaking into our worlds through the person of Jesus Christ and revealing himself. I realized afresh this week that when Jesus left his heavenly home and he put on flesh and he came and he walked on this earth, he came to reveal to us who Father really is. And he said the words that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I can only do what I see the Father doing. He revealed to us who Father is by embracing the leprous man and then healing him. By forgiving the adulterous woman, not condemning her, but saving her life from those religious men that wanted to stone her. By saving the bridegroom from shame and turning water that was meant for cleansing into delicious wine. By meeting Martha and Mary on the road to raising Lazarus from the dead and mourning with them. The word says he was groaning inside of himself and he was crying with them. And when the disciples wanted to keep the children away from him, he went down to their level, Jesus, and he drew them to himself. This is our God. Jesus brought to us a picture and an image of who our God is. And this same Jesus then went on to promise. And this is just before he was walking to his death on the cross. Just before that, he's preparing his disciples for what's going to happen. And then he promises, I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you as orphans. I will send you a helper. He will be with you and he will be in you. He will teach you. He will comfort you. He will reveal to you the deep thoughts of God. He will remind you of me and who I am. He will reveal to you all the things freely given to you. And he will give you the mind of Christ. Isn't that incredible? This is the picture Jesus presents of God. This is who our God is. So our little community, we meet weekly and we ask ourselves some questions, try and practice the teachings of Jesus. And so there are many things that I believe Holy Spirit does. And over the coming weeks, I understand that you guys, together with Grant and Brent, you're going to look at the fruits of the Spirit. But there are three things that I want to just highlight this morning that I believe Holy Spirit does. The first thing is that he draws us and he points us to Jesus. And that if you ever wanted to answer the question, if Holy Spirit is in your life, if he's present, is you can see if I'm being guided towards becoming more like Jesus. Because Holy Spirit is constantly teaching us, constantly leading us and pointing us to Jesus. Jesus promised that in his word. He said, my helper would testify about me. And so I believe that he's constantly leading us to be like him. So a story about that. You guys know that Brent was in Germany recently. Myself and Maxi was with him. Mimi was there as well, and Donnelly and some friends from other nations. And so we went to go and see if similarly what's happened in Jordan with our Muslim friends is happening in Europe as well. And so we met this lady. I'm going to give her another name and call her Noor. So Noor told us her story when we met her in Germany. She's from Yemen, but she was married to a Saudi man and living in Saudi when she had this experience. A very strict Muslim family. And so she had a desperate desire to know God more intimately. And so she went through the ritual cleansing that they do when they pray. And she prayed to Muhammad and she said, or she asked Muhammad to come and reveal himself to her in her dreams that night. And so Noor went to bed and then she dreamt about Jesus. And she woke up the next morning and she didn't understand it, shook it off. Went through ritual cleansing again, prayed the same prayer that night, went to bed, and Jesus revealed himself again to her. And then she realized, but God is speaking to her. So the next day she created a false Facebook page because there's no one that she knew of in that community, this is Saudi, it's Mecca, it's really strict, that she could turn to ask questions. So she created this Facebook page and she started looking for people that had similar experiences, and she found like-minded Muslims that were encountering God in this way. She came to a point where she wanted to follow this Jesus more freely, and so she decided to pack her bags, take two of her children, and escape, run away from their home. And she ended up as a migrant in Germany. And during the week, we had a couple of opportunities to share Jesus stories together and pray and break bread. And it was incredible to see through her life how actively Holy Spirit was leading her to becoming more like Jesus. We would read a simple story and just ask, what do we learn about God and what are we going to do about this? And she would just have these incredible, really simple, but incredibly deep revelations about who God is. And she was taking small steps closer to him in obedience. It was such a sweet time. So we see he draws us and he points us to Jesus. The second thing is that Holy Spirit teaches us. He makes known to us God's deepest thoughts. And he gives us a knowledge of a gospel-centered living. So you may have heard this story, but I love this story. This young lady was working in a big finance company, and she was on a team that was responsible for a big investment, and it was her responsibility ultimately. And she made a massive mistake and lost the company a lot of money. And so I remember working as a junior architect. And maybe some of you can relate with this. If you do something really well, if you show some genius, the project manager gets the praise. And if you do something wrong, then the blame comes down on you. And so this girl was afraid. She knew the culture of the company that she might lose her job. And she knew there was many other young people that was ready, that in line to take her position. And so the time came for her to go with the project leader to the CEO and explain what was going on. And then the project leader did the most incredible thing. He said, this was my responsibility, and I'll carry the blame. And so she could not believe this, unknown for her. And they went out, and she said to him, why did you do that? And he said, no, it's forgotten, and it's done. Don't worry about it. But she could not forget about it. And so the next couple of days, she's been asking him, why did you do that? What was your motive? He said, to be honest, I follow Jesus. And it's because of his grace and his love that I just have learned from him. And I understood that she then went on to look for Jesus herself as well. I've similarly had the same experience when I was working in Stellenbosch after we started having these experiences, just, you know, with Father again. I was responsible for a contract. The builder is quite a bit older than me. Afrikaans guy, I'm from Afrikaans heritage, and Afrikaans heritage, you need to be really honoring to the people older than you. You know, you oom and tannie, so oom, asseblief my help, oom, dankie oom, dat oom saam, that's the way you talk almost. And so this guy was not doing the work properly, and the contract was late. And so I did the only thing that I could do was I kept back payment certificates. And man, was he angry. Most of his relationships, he managed through conflict on site as well, you know, with the guys on site. He's always angry. So he called me up, and he threatened me, and he was going to, man, I'm this little architect, and he's going to beat me up, and he's so angry because he needs to pay his laborers. And in that moment, I thought, oh, maybe I should just, you know, let me just release some funds. But I knew I was appointed to represent the client, and with integrity, I can't do this. You know, this guy's not, he's not doing his work. And so I felt like just a peace come over me. And then I just kind of stayed quiet. And then this guy, because I didn't respond, he got so angry. He said, I'm coming to the office now. I'm going to sort you out. And he threw down the phone. And now I'm alone at the office. My boss is not there. And so I think, oh, man, what am I going to do? And then this thought dropped in my heart. Act in the opposite spirit. Whatever he does, whatever he says, just act in the opposite spirit. So he comes to the office and he storms in the door. And my first thing is just, so good to see you. I'm trying to be honest, but it's so good to see you. Can I offer you a cup of coffee? And he's kind of, and I sit down and he's ready to, you know, fight. And And I try to be honoring, and I try to be loving is maybe not the right word, but just act in integrity. Listen. Try to listen to him and respect him and honor him. And just every time he says something that's almost aimed at my character and my personality, I would just say, but, you know, I really think we can bring this to peace. I really think we can work this out. And this just took the wind out of his sails. This was for me miraculous. I looked at this guy. I did not expect this. But it took the wind out of his sails. And he slowed down and we calmed down. And at the end of the day, he walked away. And he agreed to do the work, finalize the work, without me signing any payment certificates. Nothing changed. He just got some fresh perspective and he went on his way. So I believe during the day, during our lives, Jesus is constantly teaching us, revealing to us God's character and God's way of doing. So you see, there is for me the kingdom coming, but there's a kingdom on earth. And Jesus came to give us a knowledge for living. And it's miraculous, deep knowledge for living. And Holy Spirit helps us to access that knowledge. And this knowledge, people are attracted to it. They are looking for it. They want this. They want to know, how do I navigate this life? People feel like they're owned by their possessions and work. They want to know about this. And Jesus came and he spoke about these things, and Holy Spirit teaches us. And then the third thing is he comforts us. So I told you the story about Niku. Holy Spirit comforts us. And so Niku was desperate, and we did not have the answer. And nothing I could say, no strategy I could give him, would take away the fear and the pain he felt in that moment. But Holy Spirit could touch exactly in the right spot, in the right place. And the problem he was having is that he believed he was alone. He was alone in a boat. He was carrying the weight of all these staff members on his own. And then Holy Spirit came and just showed him, you're not alone. You're not alone. I'm with you. So there are these lies or maybe these protests that we have in our heart about who God is. And these things influence the way we experience life. It influences our relationships and our marriage and our professional life. But luckily, God is alive and active. And if when we choose to turn our hearts to him, he reveals to us his true image and picture. So God speaks to us. And I believe that God wants to be known by us. He wants to enlighten the eyes of our hearts and show us his glory. God does not want to be limited to one image we may have of him. He wants to break free of the box we may have. He's like a trophy that we stack away, and every now and again we take him out and we dust him off. Or he's like an annuity or a pension fund, just in case, you know. That's not our God. He is fierce. He's fierce. I went running the other day and I looked at the ocean around Komiki, and the waves and the scale of the ocean and the wind and the clouds. And I know my God's not contained in that. He's just so fierce. He's so much more wilder than that. I mean, if you've been in the Kruger National Park and you've woken up to the roar of a lion, and there's scripture and psalms that talk about nature, worshiping God. If you want to know God, look at nature. Look at the ocean. Look at the birds. Look at look at what he's created. This is our God. He doesn't want to be contained by our images. So if we've shaped any one image that contains him in our hearts, we believing something about him, we can allow him to come and reshape our thinking. See, life, busyness, disappointment, and fear leads us to agree in our hearts, deep in our hearts, with certain lies about who God really is. But he's alive, and he's wanting to break into our lives, and he's wanting to break free of those images and show us who he really is. And so I want to invite us this morning to, with myself, allow God to search our hearts. He promises that he wants to do that. Search our hearts and allow him to, through his Spirit, reveal to us his thoughts. Something I thought we could do together is maybe for a couple of minutes, it's just close our eyes, and I'm going to read some of his promises over us, some of his scripture over us. And let's be quiet. Let's allow God to search our hearts. I think of David crying out, God, search my heart and know me. And if there's anything in me that's not in line, not in rhythm with who you are, just bring it in line. Just bring it in rhythm with who you are. So allow God to change whatever image you might have of him that's influencing your experience of him, and to bring it in rhythm, in line with who he really is. Is that okay? Let's close our eyes. I'll read the scripture and let's take time. We've got some time. This is really fast. Let's take some time. Let's just rest. And I'll even take a couple of minutes. We're just going to be silent, and it's okay. And I'll end it off for us in a prayer. I will ask my Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet in a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Do not cease to give thanks, for I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by him. Father, we know you as good and righteous and close to us. Thank you that you are here. I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would reveal to us deep in our hearts your thoughts. Search our hearts. Search our hearts. If there is any image, any protest in our heart against the truth of who you are and the truth of your word, would you bring into alignment our thoughts and our hearts so that it's in alignment with who you say you are, God? I pray that you would show each of us this morning, deep on our hearts, how much we are loved, sons and daughters of you. More of your presence, Father, in our lives. More of your truth in our hearts. And more of your thoughts in us. Your resurrection power at work in our hearts and minds, constantly renewing, bringing us into rhythm with you, to rhythm with worship with you, God. We give ourselves to you, Father. We know you as good. I pray, Father, on this community, the blessing of a continued rhythm of reaching out to you, listening to you, a blessing of your presence, Father, and deep, sweet, intimate times with you, and that every one of us would know how deeply we are loved, and that we would go into the nations, and we would go into our city, and we would love the people around us with that same love. A love received from you, not a love conjured up, not out of works and duty, but out of delight. We love you, God, and we thank you for your spirit. Amen.